Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones.
Got to serve somebody, might as well serve the Lord.
There are numerous references to obedience throughout the Bible. The prophet Isaiah said, "If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." Everyone wants the best of the land. But are we willing covenant keepers? Today, Pastor Joel begins the powerful teaching series on a willing vessel.
The name of the sermon is A Willing Vessel. A willing vessel. I heard somebody say, oh yeah, that's what I said too. That's what Pastor Annalisa has been saying, oh yeah, a willing vessel. And you know, the word vessel has many meanings. I was doing my research, and I like to do that on certain terms. And you all know what a vessel is, but it's got a lot of different meanings. And one is a hollow or a concave utensil, such as a cup, a bowl, a vase, etc. I'm sure we're all familiar with vessels of that type, which are basically for carrying water or liquid or some other liquid and that type of thing. And there's also other types of vessels, when we think about it, called crafts, right? Some are big, huge vessels, like aircraft carriers, ships, okay? They're huge, but they're still hollow and concave, and they're transporters, okay? So they transport things, right? And they're designed by mankind. Vessels are designed by man in order to carry people, liquid, supplies throughout the world. So these vessels then are objects designed by man's hands for the purpose of man. You all get that? For the purpose of man. And these vessels are what? They're inanimate objects, meaning that they can't think, you all. At least not like humans. I mean, they are making vessels like cars that seem that they can park better than some of us, but basically they have not been able to think like us yet. And if they get to that point, then they ought to pay that card note for us and everything else that comes along with it. That's how I see it. So I hope they keep advancing. But the point is, they're still vessels and they're still inanimate objects. They can't think on their own like humans. Okay, vessels have no say-so when called upon to be used by man. I have one right here. This water, this is a vessel, this is a container. Its job is to carry the water. I don't have to ask it, can I drink from you? I just take off the cap and I take a swig of water because its purpose is to carry the water. It's a vessel, right? It's an inanimate object. And it's designed just for that purpose, right? But we want to talk about another kind of vessel today, right? The vessels we want to talk about are vessels designed by God. Vessels designed by the Creator. And I see a lot of examples of those too. That's you and me. Us folks, God's created beings. We are vessels. Now, how are we different than other vessels? Well, number one, we were created by God, and we were created in the image of God. Each and every one of us was created in his image. We know we got away from that, right? We got away from being in the image of God because Adam and Eve fell, all right? And ever since then, we've been plunged into sin. We've been separated from God. So God's whole intent is to restore us and bring us back to the proper image. Because whether we know it or not, God has a purpose for each one of us. Just like we have a purpose for the vessels we use, he has a purpose for us as his vessel. We're not inanimate. That's the problem. We're not inanimate objects. God made us and he put us here with the ability, we possess the ability to think and to make decisions. That's where the problem comes in. We have free will, don't we? We as his vessels have free will, and that separates us from other vessels, among other things, in other ways. So therein lies the problem. You see, going back to the example of an inanimate object such as a glass, It's there for man's purpose, for man's use. It was designed by man, okay? And because it's inanimate, without thought processes, the glass does not have to be a willing vessel. It just has to be a vessel, right? It just needs to be a vessel, and we can use it. Now, we as human beings, we don't have the luxury of just being vessels. It's our job to be willing vessels for the Lord. Does that make sense? Yeah. We have the thought processes. We have free will, but it's our job to be willing vessels. But because we have this free will, we're not always willing. We're not always willing to be what God wants us to be used in that capacity. Isn't that true? How many of you have ever said this? I'm not feeling that. Mm-mm. Is that what the Lord told you? Mm. He sure didn't tell me that. Right? That's kind of vessels we are, right? We're different kinds of vessels. We're not always willing to do we're not always lined up. Let me put it like that, how we should be. And that's ironic. It's ironic because we've been blessed by God. We've been blessed by God to have the brain capacity to invent, to create vessels of our own use, yet we balk at being vessels used by the Lord. There's something wrong with that. You see what I mean? And don't get me wrong, I understand that some people don't know God, so they have no idea that they were put here for God's purpose. Although if you look at Romans 1:18-32, it'll tell you that we all have an understanding of God, everything created, so we really have no excuse, okay? But we use the excuse that if we don't know God, then how can we be held accountable? Okay? So there are people who live their lives day in and day out, and they live their lives as they see fit, doing what they want to do or doing what they think they should be doing. And that's because they don't know God. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says that the natural man does not receive the things of God, nor can he know them. Right? It says, for they are foolishness to him. I was a very, very foolish man before I met Jesus. I did things my way. I wasn't going to bother anybody. I wasn't a gangster or any of that stuff. I just wasn't going to take it from anybody. And I really felt like I had to do what I had to do to live a life to my expectations. It wasn't until I met Jesus that he reversed everything. He turned everything around. He turned everything around. He changed my lifestyle. He changed the way I thought. He changed my look. People see me now, they walk past me on the street and I have to say, hey, remember me? And they don't know who I am. Now that's radical. That's a radical change. But God knew what he was doing, and he knew that I was to be a vessel for him. I wonder if we know that. I wonder if we know to what extent God wants to use us. Sometimes we think, well, yeah, I'm in Christ and I go to church and, you know, I do what I'm supposed to do, but God wants more from us. We're here for his purpose. So as I was, as he was giving me these sermon notes, he's told me there's a marked difference between the lives of Christ followers and people in the world when it comes to being willing vessels. There's a difference, all right? So the Lord has instructed me to go back and to illustrate to people just what it means to be a willing vessel. So I'm going to ask my lovely wife, sister friend, ex-high school chum, Pastor Annalisa Jones, to take us, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 6, verse 6 to 8, and read that for us, if she's willing.
One.
Yes, ma'am.
Willing vessel.
Willing vessel. I said if you're willing.
Exodus 6:6-8 tells us.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6 says, therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out of from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you from with an outstretched arm and with great judgment.
Thank you.
Verse 7 says, I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Mm-hmm. And verse 8 says, and I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a bondage, as a heritage. I am the Lord.
All righty. Thank you. Thank you. She did that with conviction and clarity.
Hallelujah.
I was looking at this, and it's just amazing that when we see this and we go back, I could have gone further. I could have gone all the way back to Genesis, of course. But I just wanted to lay the groundwork which demonstrates how the Lord has always viewed us, his people. You said, well, that was the Israelites. No, that was us. I know, you weren't born in Israel. Richmond, Oakland, Chicago, Philly, South Florida, we all have a little Israelite in us now. And because the way they behaved, we still behave today. And the point I'm trying to make is that they were a people in bondage, and the Lord showed up to do two things, to rescue them and to redeem them, to bring them back to himself. And although this is Old Testament history right here, it's extremely relevant to our walks today in Christ, if you know the Bible at all. In this 21st century, it demonstrates that God had a purpose for his people, and that was to bring them out of bondage and servitude from the hands of the Egyptians, right? Okay? Now, I wonder how many people are in our society today who are still in bondage. Maybe not to Egyptians, but certainly to things like drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, gambling, immorality, homosexuality, pride, etc., etc. We could go on and on and on, right? The hits would just keep on coming. The list goes on and on. So guess what? God wants to bring us out. He wants to bring us out of our bondage. You see the correlation? He's been doing this from day one. The Lord brought his people out so that his people could prosper and have a relationship with him. And I don't mean to be rich in stuff. I don't mean to have money and cars. Yeah, the Lord will give you what you need. But I'm talking about prospering spiritually. I'm talking about prospering now for the eternity. Because what we do now determines how we spend eternity. You see what I mean? So it's not about so much prospering. When I say prosper, prospering as far as monetary goods or stuff and houses and money. No, 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 no. The Lord wants to prosper you. He wants to remake you. He wants to reshape you. He wants to build a better you. He wants to take care of that old man and do away with him and build up that new man. Huh? And it's a process. It's a process. But we have to be what? We have to be willing. We have to allow him to do it. I know some people that's in the gym 6-7 days a week. Sometimes they come twice a day. You can't get them out of that gym. You can't. And that's their livelihood. Well, they want to change. They want to see a change in their physical man. But the Lord is more concerned about the inner man. He wants to work you out that way. He wants to give you a spiritual workout. Not so much push-ups. The Lord's going to push in. He's going to take the inside of you and build you up that way. Because everything starts in the spiritual, whether you know it or not. The idea drops in your head to be if you like yourself, if you like what you see in the mirror or not. As a man thinketh, so he is. Or as a woman thinketh, so she is. Sometimes people don't see the weight that you see. They say, you look fine to me. You say, oh, no, I got to. No, 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 you just don't know. We don't know. But God knows. He knows, and that's why we have to be vessels for his glory. Amen. So modern day Christians should really grasp this. What you see in Exodus here is a covenant concept. It's a covenant relationship. And God was going to pull his people out of slavery. So we all need to understand that. We should understand it by now. After all, who wouldn't want to be free from slavery? But as sad as it may seem, people can be enslaved for so long that they don't even know they're enslaved. Have you ever seen that mentality before? Have you ever seen people just lost, just going in circles like that song the Lord gave us? You'll just keep on going in circles till you come to the Lord. Till you come to the Lord, man, you're going to keep going in circles, right? Enslaved, but don't even know it. Lost, but don't even know it, okay? So we can't be that way, but God knows and he wants to pull us out, and that's what he did in Egypt, okay? We're studying that in Bible study. And every third class or every third day, what do we talk about the Israelites doing? Complaining and murmuring, saying, why didn't you just leave us in Egypt so we could just, at least we had food to eat. I'm so tired of this manna. I want barbecue. Or whatever was the food of the day for them. I don't know. But I'm just saying. I'm paraphrasing. But that's sort of how we are. Lord, I want this. And I'm supposed to have that by now. And I want this. And the Lord's just chipping away at you. Chink, chink. And we don't like it. He's chink, making a new you out of that statue. Amen. But we need to be able to allow the Lord to take us out of slavery. Okay, out of bondage. And actually, we can be enslaved so long that our mindset just sort of allows it. And that's one of the levers that Satan will use against people. Okay, you can be locked into it so long. Even today, he'll use that same mindset. Satan doesn't use a lot of different plays. He comes at you till you stop that one play. He's going to shove it right down your throat until you stop it. He doesn't need a hope. If you're giving in to lust, he's going to put some lustful thoughts in your head. He's going to send that lust your way. He says, oh, there's so-and-so. Bring the lust bucket, and there it is. He's going to drop it right on you. If you like, I don't know, whatever you like, he's going to bring it, okay? So people have lived under the cloud of sins for so long, most of their lives, that's all we really know sometimes. Some people, all they know is violence. They grew up in a violent home. Their dad was violent. They said, I'm not going to be like him. He was hitting the mother. They grew up hitting the mother. I told you before when I did police work, I knew families of drug dealers. Families of drug dealers. Some families I know, that's what they do. Like, you know, you get up and your father's a farmer, you become a farmer. They grow up to be drug dealers. I've seen 7 and 8 year old kids growing up on the street as runners and lookouts when the police go by. And now they're 30 and doing time. And their father's on one tier and the grandfather's on another tier. That's slavery. That's slavery and bondage. Okay? Abusers, child molesters who were molested themselves, whatever the case may be. But Jesus came to set us free. He came to break us out. He came to pull us out just like he did to the Israelites in Egypt. And so we have to understand that. We all got to have a seat across. And he wants to bring us across that thing and bring us into a promised land where the same promises he made for them, they hold true for us today. I don't care what the problem is. He wants to pull us out of it, and he's able to do it. So we become freed from the bondage of sin. And that's all good and wonderful. Makes you wonder why in the world the whole world isn't saved. If Jesus is doing all that, we all should be running to Jesus. Okay? Well, like I said in the beginning of this sermon, we have that thing called free will. And I've told you before, free will just ain't free. Mm-mm. When you got free will, you're gonna pay for something. Somewhere along the line, because you got free will. Our will has to line up with God's will. Okay? See, although the Lord comes to rescue us, there's still work to be done in order for us to be changed. You understand that? He extends his grace, but there's still work to be done. You know, you can be in the Lord for so long, and you can read your Bible for so long, and you just casually take it for granted, and you go to church for so long, and you've paid your tithes for so long, and you sang in the choir for so long, and you've just done it for so long. But you know what? When you get to heaven, somebody might say so long, because you're still doing the things that you used to do. You didn't do the work. You may say, I never knew you, because we didn't do the work. There's work to be done. If you get it, okay, to the young people, we have any 16-year-olds in here? 17? 15? 12, 13. Oh, we got some young ones. Okay. And what age is it that you first get your license? 16. You know I'm getting old. I can't remember anymore. Okay, you go get your driver's license. You study. You take the test. You get a license. Okay? You're 16. You got your little, I don't know, whatever car they have nowadays, little Honda Civic maybe. Mustang, okay, whatever. Your parents usually don't give you a new car. They give you the old bucket. That's what I did with my daughter. I gave her the old bucket and let her wreck that thing a few times before I give her something good. But she only had one accident. But still, they give you the old bucket. So now you're running. You earn your wings. You sort of know how to drive. You don't have to take that test again. Now you're 60. Maybe you got cataracts or whatever. I say that because I'm 62 and my eyes are not what they used to be, right? But what I'm trying to say is this, whatever the case may be, your reflexes may not be like they used to be. You still have a license, but there's work to be done. If you had to take that test again, would you pass it? What I'm trying to say is that's... I know some people nervous about taking a driver's test right now. They're not 16. It's when you get older, because you've been gone for so long, right? Your habits are built in now. You sort of do things your way. You don't really look over your shoulder. You look in the rearview mirror, right? Sometimes you don't even signal. You just look quick look and you go, and you turn that thing with one finger and the other way. And you try to do that at DMV and see how quick it can get you out of that car with a failure, right? The word is the same way. You got to stay in this word. You can't say just because you're a Christian, just because I'm saved, I know the word now. I never have to go back to the book. You better stay in that book. Chew. They told me, just send your license in. We're going to get you one of them new licenses with a dog on it or a bear, whatever that thing is. Look like a dog, but it says a bear. I don't know what it is, really. But they said if I send my license in, I won't have to take the test. I said, I'm sending it in because I don't want to have to take the test again because I know my driving habits have changed through the years because I haven't been required to study the rules of the road. Do you get it? We have to study the rules of the road. Jesus comes to require us to study the rules of the road. We have to be willing vessels so that we know this thing. You see what I mean? So that we know this word, so that it's second nature in us.
Praise God. Are you a willing vessel? 2 Timothy says, study to show yourself approved to God. Studying doesn't come easy, you know, for most people. It's a conscious, willing decision we make. Truth is, the benefits for those that are willing far outweigh those that aren't willing to dedicate themselves. So thanks for tuning in today.
You're listening to Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Sponsored in part by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. We love hearing from our listeners, and it's easy to connect with us on Facebook. Just submit your comments, prayer requests, and praise reports on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.org. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor Joel, please let us know. Simply drop us a note using our contact page. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord continues to strengthen you as you follow Him. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program. Will you help support the ministry by donating today? All financial donations are tax-deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is simple. Just click the donate button on our website. Join us Sundays for worship at Calvary Chapel in the Holy Grounds Cafe at 1180 Western Street in Fairfield at 1 p.m. We also invite you to join us for prayer at 7 p.m. and Bible study at 8 p.m. Wednesdays as we walk through the Bible together. Don't forget to tune into Miracles of God next week as Pastor Joel continues the teaching series, A Willing Vessel. Until next time.
Got to serve somebody.